First, let's take a look at our headlines.
Another lawsuit under Title III of Helms-Burton Act dismissed.
Granma newspaper article denounces U.S. cyber war on Cuba.
Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido accused of mounting publicity stunt.
Millions pack Tehran streets to pay homage to General Soleimani.
And now the news in detail.
A U.S. judge dismissed a lawsuit filed against MSC Cruises under Title III of the controversial Helms-Burton Act against Cuba. The Cuban ambassador to the United States, José Ramón Cabañas, posted on his personal Twitter account a link to the text of the order issued by the judge in Miami, Florida, which is dated January 3rd. Havana Docks Corporation, a company that claims to be the legitimate owner of certain commercial real estate in the port of Havana, filed a legal action against the cruise line for the use of this infrastructure. The cruise line, in a motion, argued that the lawsuit should be dismissed for several reasons, including that those who filed the claim did not include sufficient allegations about the defendant's alleged traffic on the property. Last week, the Spanish tourism magazine Preferente reported that another Florida judge had removed the Spanish Melia hotel chain and several travel bookings agencies from a lawsuit under Title III of the Helms-Burton Act.
Granma newspaper denounced on Tuesday the maneuvers of the U.S. government aimed at destabilizing Cuba through the alleged pro-democracy programs, which finance mercenary groups, scholarships to promote fake leadership amongst young people and the dirty war on the Internet. In an article on its front page, the Cuban Communist Party newspaper reports that since 1996, the controversial Helms-Burton Act established the obligations to finance these destabilizing programs, to which Washington earmarks nearly $20 million a year. The publication also recalls that since its creation in 2018, the so-called Internet Task Force for Cuba and the institutions that make up that force have highly qualified specialists who, based on previously developed models, direct targeted messages to sectors of Cuban society and organize fake campaigns and protest actions supposedly led by Cuban users. One of the most widespread falsehoods in recent times about the Caribbean nation is that of presenting the Cuban Revolution as an enemy of the Internet, while the White House, without any pretext, with its rhetoric that the government prevents access to new technologies, uses infocommunications for anti-Cuban and interfering purposes with media such as the radio and television Martí.
Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido has been accused of pulling a PR stunt after a dramatic video showed him mounting a fence to enter the parliament as lawmakers voted to replace him as the head of the legislature. The opposition-led National Assembly changed its leadership over the weekend, with the majority of lawmakers electing Luis Parra, a deputy from the Primero Justicia, a party in opposition to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's United Socialist Party. One of the absentees was U.S.-backed opposition figurehead Juan Guaido, the now former leader of the National Assembly, who proclaimed himself the country's interim president a year ago. Guaido and a group of his followers were recorded attempting to climb a fence surrounding the legislature, with uniformed security guards pulling them back. The video was picked up by mainstream media in the West, which spun it as evidence of Guaido being barred from participating in the key parliamentary vote. But other footage shows Guaido chatting with members of the National Guard and refusing to enter the building unless his followers, five other deputies who were stripped of parliamentary immunity pending criminal prosecution, are allowed inside. When his plea was rejected, Guaido complained and attempted to storm the building. After his show failed, Guaido convened a parallel assembly at an office of the pro-opposition El Nacional newspaper. His supporters re-elected Guaido and swore him in as the parliament's leader, proclaiming the National Assembly vote unlawful.
Millions of Iranians packed the streets of Tehran to pay homage to General Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated on the orders of U.S. President Donald Trump last Friday. A huge sea of mourners streaming from all adjoining streets descended on the iconic Enghelab Square in central Tehran Monday morning before rallying to Azadi Tower in the capital. Chanting "Death to America" and "Death to Israel," they carried portraits of their national hero whose assassination in a U.S. airstrike at Baghdad Airport has generated an outpouring of anger and patriotism across Iran and elsewhere, with vociferous calls for revenge. A correspondent for the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, the IRIB, said that he had not seen such a crowd in 20 years in Tehran, where important occasions usually draw people in the millions. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, led the prayers over the general's coffin and the remains of his companions at Tehran University. The coffins of General Soleimani and Iraq's anti-terror commander, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who was also assassinated in Friday's attack, were draped in their national flags and passed from hand to hand across the heads of mourners.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC. If you're in and around the Cuban capital, you may be listening to us on your FM radio. That is, if you're tuned in to 102.5 FM. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's Lena Valverde.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez conveyed his condolences to the people and government of Australia, where forest fires have killed more than 20 people and caused severe damage to wildlife and infrastructure. Heartfelt condolences to the people and government of Australia for the loss of human lives, wildlife, and material damages caused by forest fires, which I extend to the victims and their relatives, Bruno Rodriguez wrote on Twitter. The mega fires affecting the Australian continent are caused by an extreme heat wave, and there are reports of some 1,500 homes destroyed. The wildfires have killed at least 24 people, scorched an area larger than Switzerland, and killed 500 million animals. The fire season is expected to continue for at least another month.
The election of provincial governors and deputy governors will take place on January the 18th, as agreed by the Council of State. On that date, delegates to the municipal assemblies of people's power from all over the country will meet simultaneously to exercise their vote. Following the nation's Magna Carta, there is a provincial government of people's power in each province that functions in close connection with the people. It is made up of a governor and a provincial council. The primary mission of this provincial government is to oversee the economic and social development of the province under the general objectives of the country and acts as a coordinator between the central structures of the state and the municipalities. The governor is the highest executive administrative official in his or her province. They organize and direct the provincial administration. They also report to the National Assembly of People's Power, the Council of State, the Council of Ministers, and the Provincial Council, informing on performance.
Australian officials have launched the largest peacetime maritime rescue operation in the country's history in order to rescue thousands of residents and tourists stranded on the beach after being forced to flee uncontrollable wildfires. The unprecedented climate-fueled wildfire season has forced Australia to deploy troops and military resources in a way not seen since World War II. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian told reporters the extent of this bushfire season is the greatest in living memory, and many experts have been around much longer than I have, who have fought fires and observed circumstances, all agree we are in uncharted territory.
U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that his tweets will serve as notifications to the U.S. Congress in case he decides to strike Iran. Quote, "These media posts will serve as a notification to the United States Congress that should Iran strike any U.S. person or target, the United States will quickly and fully strike back, and perhaps in a disproportionate manner. Such legal notice is not required, but is given nevertheless," Trump wrote. According to the War Powers Resolution, a U.S. president can send the country's armed forces into action abroad only by declaration of war by Congress, statutory authorization, or in case of a national emergency created by attack upon the United States, its territories or possessions, or its armed forces.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Another lawsuit under Title III of Helms-Burton Act dismissed.
Granma newspaper article denounces U.S. cyber war on Cuba.
Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido accused of mounting publicity stunt.
Millions pack Tehran streets to pay homage to General Soleimani.